Okay. Well, we were in John 14 the last two times that I spoke, and today we're in John 15. So when I mention John 15, you probably think right away, ah, that's the vine and the branches. You are right. So we're going to look at two things in there today. We're going to look at pruning and abiding. So pruning we don't like, and abiding we struggle with doing. Now, maybe I should just talk about me. I don't like when the Lord gets out his clippers and he decides that something should go and he cuts it off. I don't know. I don't think my grapevine likes it either when I go out there and I start trimming. So my mother likes to remind me of stories, you know, because I'm still 12 years old. But she'll tell me, she'll say, do you remember that time I sent you out to trim our mimosa tree? And you came in the house and it was now a bush. I'm like, yeah, I sort of remember that. And we also, at least me, struggle with abiding. Well, why do we struggle with abiding? Because life happens. We have work, we have relationships, we have family. And so sometimes I realized a couple days ago by and I'm like, I didn't spend as much time with the Lord as I planned at all. So I don't know if anyone else struggles with pruning or abiding, but that's what we're going to look at today. Well, thank you for being honest, Pastor Kurt. I got one yeah. So I guess everybody else is good with both of those. So I'm just talking to you today. Okay, I'll preach to you. I expect to hear some amens and other things. Oh, you don't like it either. Okay, all right. I thought maybe I was the only one this morning. You ready? John 15. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Person who tends the vine, takes care of the vine. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Wait. Every time I read that, I go back. That's not right. It should say every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he prunes. It doesn't say that. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it. Why would you prune a branch that's doing good? So that it would bear more fruit. You are already pruned or cleaned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Thank you, Pastor Kurt. My disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full or complete. So these two principles, pruning and abiding, Jesus is teaching these so that we can have full joy. So if we learn these two principles today, they should produce joy within us. So I said to the Lord, what may be some things that need pruned in our lives? And my mind went to a bunch of the lists that are in scriptures. And the thing that came to the top, we're only going to look at two today. The one that came to the top is pride. And again, I'll just speak for myself. Throughout my life, there's been times where I've struggled with that. Pride is thinking that you are better than someone else. Not better than everybody else. You just think you're better than someone else. It's a sense that because of what you own or what you know, you deserve special treatment. And you can find that when you think, how dare they treat me like that? How dare they talk to me like that? Now, I'm not saying the way we're treated and the way we're talked to is the best, but sometimes, it can be because of pride. So Jesus has a teaching in Mark 7, and they said to him, well, what causes us to be unclean? And he comes to the conclusion and he says, it's not food, it's not what you eat, but what comes out of your heart. And he says, examine and find out, in verse 22, maybe you have pride or arrogance. And that word that's used in Mark 7:22 is to think or to make yourself appear to be superior to others. See, sometimes it's not that you are superior, but you put on that appearance that you are. So what does the Lord think of pride? Well, in Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction. Now, that word means that pride leads you to destruction. So if you have pride in your life in certain areas, that can lead you to destruction. And arrogance before a... So sometimes we set ourselves up for a fall. Hey, Stanley, I know you're just new in there and apprenticing today, but could you try sliding me up just a little? I feel like I'm yelling to make sure that I'm being heard. So not a lot, but just a little. Thank you. So in James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5, the same exact verse is in both places. James 4:6, 1 Peter 5:5. Both refer back to Proverbs. And what it says is, be subject to your elders. Accept and follow the authority of your elders. And each of you put on humility because. I love when Scripture gives us the because. I do much better following rules and guidelines when I know the whys. Now, I can follow rules and guidelines without the whys, but isn't it so much easier when you know the why? Put on humility because God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So boy, that made me stop and think, which of those two categories do I want to be in? Do I want God to be opposing me? No, I don't think that'd be a pretty picture. How about you, Pastor Kurt? Yeah, I would not want to be in opposition of God with God. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Wow, I want grace. So if I want grace, I have to be humble. Why? Because if you're humble, you know you can't do it without God's help. If you're proud, you think, I can do it, and you just motor through life, and then when you fall on your face, then you're like, God, help! And it's like, why didn't I ask for help back here when I realized that I was struggling to work through something? How much better back here to say, God, I cannot do what's in front of me by myself, so I humble myself and ask you for your help. And what's it say God does? He gives grace. Grace is God's enabling to do what he's called you to do. Yay. Right, Jack? Yes, absolutely. So God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In Luke 14, Jesus gives us a great example of this. He tells a story. And so he said, let's say you were invited to a dinner party. And you go in, and it's this big conference table. Have you ever looked in our conference room over there? We have this big table. And as people come in, they choose where they want to sit down. And you're the person that invited everybody. You're running the meeting. And so your seat's here at the front, and here's this long table. So sitting right here might be the mayor of Carlisle. I don't know. And here's somebody who is very wealthy. And you come in that door, you have to decide where you're going to sit down. Well, in their culture, the higher your reputation, the closer you want to be to the front of the table. So Jesus says, you walk in, so I come in and I'm like, oh, well, I think I can sit next to the mayor. I know the mayor. I met him once. So I come in and I sat down next to the mayor and we're chatting and I talked to this guy over here who I didn't know. And the person who invited everybody comes in and he says, Steve, yeah, I wanted you to be like halfway down the table because I have people for those seats. So now in front of everybody, I have to get up and walk down and hope nobody's watching. And sit down here. What Jesus says is, when you come in, say, well, I'm not sure who I'm better than, who's coming today. I'm going to sit here. And then the person who's called the meeting, he'll come back and say, Steve, hey, I expected you to be halfway up the table. Now I get up. And now I'm sitting where I was supposed to sit. See the difference? And he says, if you exalt yourself by thinking you're superior to other people, what will happen? You'll be humbled. But if you humble yourself, he will exalt you. Yay! How much better to have the second than the first, right? So sometimes we need some pride trimmed off, cut off, pruned. I don't like it any more than you do. Anytime he's had to prune things. And you know what's even more difficult? Sometimes it happens just between him and I, but other times he uses other people. Yeah, how do you like that? When somebody comes and says, hey, can I talk to you? I sort of feel like God wants me to share some things I'm seeing in your life with you. And you're like, oh, joy. Okay. But what did Jesus tell us? At the end of the pruning process, we would have more joy and we would be in a position to bear more fruit. Isn't that our goal? Now, of course, we're all hoping we're bearing some fruit. Like I'm hoping on the apple tree I have at least one apple there. But how much better if he trims it and then next year I have five apples? Because the apple tree doesn't eat its own apples. It's for the benefit of somebody else. So the fruit that Jesus produces in our lives, if I see that Sharon needs a little fruit this week, okay, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. I can extend some to her because it's on my tree. But if my tree only has one and I've extended it to her, then when I see Karen this week, I'm like, yeah, don't have any grace for Karen this week because there's no more fruit. So how much better to have been pruned? And then I'm like, yep, I can give you a cherry and I can give Frank a cherry and I can give Mike a cherry and I can give Ed a cherry. Okay, I can pass out my fruit. So I am going to do one of these lists. And what I want you to do is I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, are there any of these things that's hanging on in my life that I need that branch cut off? Now, if you ask my wife, my yard looks like a forest. And it like looks like a forest because, don't you smile, Stanley Hubbard. Because Stanley works at our house and does things, and yeah, he has to avoid them and go under them and around them and climb on top of them. But I plant bushes and I plant trees, and I love a variety. Like, I don't want 12 oak trees. I have to have an oak, a maple, a hickory, a gum. And my kids for Father's Day bought me a tree, and they helped dig the hole and plant it. So I know that I go out, and if I don't prune things, what happens? Boy, they just get wild, don't they? And they overtake. Last year, I did a lot of pruning, and my neighbor said, "Did you have a storm come through your yard?" Like, no, just me. And I hadn't had a chance to completely gather it all up yet. So when I read through these, there might just be one that the Holy Spirit puts his finger on. I have no idea. Do you want to just turn that TV off? Emma, you have a control right in front of you. On the third counter down, TV control, like you do at home. Could you just point it at that thing? It's decided to make a weird and just turn her off. There we go. Yay. All right. So this list is from Galatians 5. Did you know in the same chapter that it has the fruits of the Spirit? It has the fruits of the flesh. That if we allow certain parts of our personality to give into fleshly desires, other things get produced that we don't want. So, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Its desires are opposed to the Spirit. Now, the deeds of the flesh are sexual immorality. So each one of these is another one on the list. Impurity, also might say filthiness in your translation. Lustful pleasures. Idolatry. Sorcery, which is the same as witchcraft. Hostility is opposing people. Quarreling, strife, and debating. That all goes together. Jealousy. Outbursts of anger. And that's an interesting word. That's misplaced passion. So you have passion, but you've allowed it to turn into anger. Strife and selfish ambition. Dissension, division, disunity. That's all one, depending on your translation. Heresies, envy, drunkenness, or wild parties. Yeah, that speaker is being a problem. So when I go through that list, I think it'd be good, I'm going to read it again, for us to just pause and say, Holy Spirit, are there any of those that you want to prune off? Because if he wants to put his finger on one and we allow him to, thank you, Ryan, he can prune that thing off, right? And don't we want any of those wild branches pruned off? So that we can produce more fruit, so that we can have more joy. Okay. So let's just do it this way. Holy Spirit, as we hear the list that you inspired the author of Galatians to write down, I ask that you would shine a light on any of those that may be in my life. That you would somehow just put your finger on it, and I just feel like, ooh, I need to pray about that one a little more. Because there's something there. There was a ping. And Holy Spirit, I feel like maybe you would want to get rid of that thing in my life. So Jesus, we give you permission. I know this is a scary prayer. I give you permission to prune these things out of my life. Because I want to bear more fruit and because I want to have more joy. Thank you, Jesus, for your teaching about the vine and the branches. Amen. All right. So we have sexual immorality, impurity, and filthiness, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, witchcraft, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties. Then the scripture says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. All right. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we already looked at the first step. The first step talks to us about what needs pruned. The second step is about abiding so that we can bear much fruit. Abiding means more than visiting. Would you agree? Well, thank you, Pastor Kurt. We'll try the question one more time. I'm glad you're here this morning. Abiding means much more than visiting. Yes? Okay. So how many weeks do you and I just visit with God? We might have a short time of prayer, short devotions, short Bible reading. Or maybe we have a week that the only time we spend with God is a Sunday morning. Isn't that just visiting? This word used by Jesus here means to stay, to remain in relationship with, to dwell, and to endure. So if you want to stay in a relationship with somebody, you have constant contact with them. If we're to be drawing strength from our connection with Jesus, it has to be more than a visit. Are you a stayer or a goer? When situations get difficult, do you remain and endure until they improve, or do you leave? When a relationship requires work, do you abandon and break relationship or stay and work on it? That's part of what that word means when it says, abide in me. Jesus calls you and I to make a decision, a good decision, to stay and to abide. Abide in me, he says. What's the consequences of not abiding? We lose the chance for seeing the flourishing that happens when we stay attached. I mean, just think about a bush or a tree that you know that flourishes. Remember when they went into the promised land, they said they had to carry the grapes, bunches, with poles between two people. That's how heavy they were. If you have a cherry tree or a raspberry bush, or you went and picked strawberries this year, strawberries were very abundant. That's what it looks like to stay connected. You actually flourish. When the branches stay attached, they get fed so that they grow and mature. When you think about it, the first thing that happens if you stay attached to the vine, to the plant, is you flower. That means you bloom where you're planted. So when you stay attached to Jesus, then he gives you all kinds of opportunities to bloom where you presently are, to encourage others, strengthen others, minister to others. Joy comes by staying, by working and being committed. You bloom, and then you help other people to bloom. What a wonderful blessing it is to see the fruit of your labors. In a marriage, that fruit may be kids. We just had our 9th grandchild. Yeah. I was talking to Jeff and Lisa, and they're like, yeah, my father had to build on. And I'm thinking, yeah, I might have to pop a hole in the wall pretty soon or put a tent up in the yard or something. In a church, what does abiding and new fruit look like? It looks like new believers. How about you? I'm excited to see some new believers. Some people who hadn't accepted Christ before and did that, and now they're among us as new believers. And then we get the joy of helping them grow into disciples. They started out as believers, but we help them to grow into disciples. And then those disciples bring the good news to others. See, that's what fruit looks like in a church setting. We get to go out and offer Jesus' life and his healing to other people. Just like our team does that go over to Harrisburg. They get to offer up his life and his healing to other people. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides, remains, stays connected to me, bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that is nothing that affects people in a lasting way. So boy, which do you want to be? I think you want to be the same as me. You want to be the one who abides. So then that means today, the Lord is reminding us to make two choices. First one is to let him do any pruning, as much as that hurts. To get things out of our lives that really aren't benefiting us or benefiting others. You're all looking at me, oh, thank you. That's such a wonderful, encouraging message. I know, but it's the message he gave me. And it's from the Word. And if I can't get away with anything else, Jesus said it. See? There. Now you're all okay with it. Not that I said it, but Jesus said it. Okay. So pruning, and then we have to make the choice of abiding. And you know, that has to be a definite choice. I start the week with such good intentions. This week I'm going to do this in my yard, and this in the house, and this at work, and this at the church, and this in my family, and this with God. Then I get to the end of the week. Well, that's what they were, good intentions. And abiding with Jesus is the same way. Am I going to plan regular devotion? Am I going to listen to the radio or pop on Facebook? Oh, I shouldn't be doing that on my ride to work. But wherever you're at and you have some time, what are you going to spend that time doing? When I was driving to Harrisburg, I'm working from home now most of the time, but that was 45 to 50 minutes in, 35 to 40 home. Lord and I had some wonderful talks. But I've noticed I don't have that time anymore. So where did that 45 minutes or 35 minutes go? I don't know. I rolled it over into something else. See how we do? Pastor, you mean you don't spend as much time with the Lord every day as you like? Sorry. We're going to be real. Remember, that's what we said at the beginning of the year. We're going to be truthful. I have weeks I do great, though. What I planned on doing that day actually happens that day. But how many of you know that's not the way all of our days go? So we have to be intentional about our time with the Lord. And that could be in prayer. That could be in worship. That could be in devotions. Sometimes I just go out and sit in the yard, look up at all my trees and bushes, and I say, Lord, what do you want to talk to me about? Because if I'm the one always doing the talking, it's really hard for him to get a word in edgewise. And I have enough going on in my life that I can do the talking a lot of the time. So I just have to be quiet. Okay, Lord, what do you want to say? And then I let him talk. So, let's be intentional, folks. Let's decide this week that we're going to be intentional about our time with the Lord, because if you're not intentional, it's not going to just automatically happen. And abiding means more than just visiting. Yeah, when I wrote that down, I thought, you know what? I think I can remember that. Sometimes it's nice just to have one line to remember. Because I can't even remember my whole sermon. And I know you can't remember my whole sermon. But we're going to allow him to prune us. And abiding means more than visiting.